Well, brethren, we are celebrating this morning as well as enjoying the presentation of the 49th year of the Sunday School for Better Service program. Now, this school program, as you can see on the timeline that I put those sheets out there for you and ask if you would take a couple of them just to enjoy and to pass along maybe or use in the years to come, to see the timeline down to the very present time, 2019. And you'll see on the back of that page, 2019, January the 13th, 49th year, with E.J. Bratcher, Larry Eric, Robert Rawson, and Ben Carey, Ben McRee is what we'll have for tomorrow. You'll see my mistake on there, and we'll correct it as time goes along. We're so blessed to have the opportunity to do this kind of a lecture program where we emphasize the place of education, the place of good study in the Bible and study in the ways of the Lord. 49th year anniversary. If you might turn with me to a song that we love to sing in this time, and that's number 228. Number 228. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. Yeah, I shall never get to the heights of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights of life where the soul is at home, that people want to know a better way of life. And the way of the cross is that which is advanced in the scripture in regard to people. As they choose to serve the Lord in a proper and good way, they have opportunity by way of the cross to realize what has happened in their benefit and what has happened for them to follow the example of and to be people who serve the cause of the Lord. What a blessing it is to have that to happen. On this particular timeline, I want you to observe where we were when we began. 1970, we officially classify that. Miss Jane's dad, Brother William Hull, and I met one another at Fried Hardeman when Miss Jane and I were courting one another, dating one another at the time. In the process of that conversation and everything, I found out he had a keen interest in people who wanted to preach the gospel, but they just didn't have the time or the money or the availability of a school where they were in order to prepare adequately to preach the gospel. They would give little talks and one thing and another like that, but brethren so long would just enjoy talks. And then they would say, well, we just need some preaching here. And as a result of that, they would not be able to stay on very long. But these men wanted to preach the gospel, and to prepare to do that, they needed to have the kind of training and the kind of teaching that Brother Hull looked at me and said, "Robert, I agree with Brother Dixon at Freed Hardeman and Brother Gardner at Freed Hardeman that says you have a gift to train and teach preachers." And he said, "I understand from you that you have your mom and dad that said you possibly had a gift from God, because they didn't give it to you themselves, and that you can train preachers. And I want to tell you about a school that I'd like to begin." There he was in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and he had a number of men that were part of the rice mill work over there. They were in the rice company, and Riceland Rice was a place that did business there as well as other things. And in the process of that, he recognized several men who worked there in the rice mills. They were members of the church there where he preached, as well as other congregations in the Jonesboro area, had several different congregations. There was Main Street, there was Nettleton, there was where he was involved in the matter, Frierson Street and all. He knew that they wanted to train. And he said, "We can do that." And he held up a little cassette tape recorder. And he said, "This little cassette has just really helped us a lot." And I said, "To my knowledge, Brother Hull, you can put a couple of hours on that, hour on one side, hour on the other side. You can put 6 hours on one track of a reel-to-reel machine." "Yeah, but it's not as convenient. You can listen to this going down the road. You can listen to this when you're sitting in your easy chair at the house. You can listen here when you're going to sleep at night. You can hear this information." And said, "We can have Brother Warren, Brother Elkins, and others to speak and record them, and we'll have good information here. And you can train the preaching side, and we can teach the other side of the gospel side for everything." And he said, "Do we do that?" He said, "Now, besides that, I understand from Brother Dixon and Brother Gardner that they're going to be required by the Association of Schools and Colleges, which they had just joined at that time out of Georgia and other places, to be recognized as a certified school, certified teaching. That the persons who come here need to make a certain kind of grade in order for them to be recognized as an effective school. And when men come in there and they study, and they really have been out of study a good while, maybe they were not good students when they were in what they call junior high or high school at that day and time, maybe it is the case that they wouldn't make as good of scores. Now then, Freed Hardeman or other places would not do away with them. They wouldn't send them home. But they would delay them. They would slip them over into an area where they had mentoring work that was being done and training them how to study, how to remember things that you study, how do you do it as you go along from day to day. And then when you finish up that particular study in a semester, then you take your test to make sure that you've improved from it. Then you can come back to the regular classroom and do your study of all the English and math, science and Bible, and historical related stuff." He said, "But the problem with that is they left their work in order to go to school. Now then, they have to set out another semester to be sure that they know how to study. That's a whole year that they've missed. Where's their family going to eat during that time? What they're going to be doing paying their bills and insurance is one thing or another at that time." He said, "They're just not going to do that. They're just not going to take that chance. They don't know for sure that it'll work out. And they just don't. What we can do is we can train them while they're working in the rice mills or at the farm or wherever they are in their work. And we can train them in that. When they do that, we can put them in touch with congregations that are looking for a fill-in man to come in there, preach for them for a little time, period of time. And then besides that, we can prepare them to step out of that career work and into full-time support for a congregation that wants a full-time man. And that's what we need to do. So let's begin. Now, how do we do that? Well, how we do that is by the way of the cross leads home. Teaching and teaching the things of the cross are the things that we do. And we want to do that about it way. On the companion page of this particular songbook, 227, I love to tell the story. Let's sing together.
I love to tell the story of
the way that it should go. This is the way that we will talk about. Well, when we talk about something that's true and accurate, we want to go to talk about things about God's existence. We want to talk about things of God's stability with our work in the world. We want to talk about how God has so controlled His Word and set out His Word and His will. And that's the way of God in this life. And we love it. And we love to hear it and love to teach it. And love to see it with people who know it best, because they want to see it and hear it the same way. It's not the matter where they are jealous of it or fearful of it. It's a matter where they want to hear the same old message to be taught and trained to people who want to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the opportunity has been good and been stable through the years. If you would, before EJ comes back, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In our New Testament of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. This ties both our songs in together. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. There are those who will make fun of it. There are those who won't teach it. There are those who won't enjoy it. But don't be discouraged by that. The saved are those who really see it for what it is. And it's the power of God for salvation. What a blessing it is we talk about. Now tomorrow we'll show a little DVD of an old recording that we took at a vacation Bible school when we were beginning some of this program of activity in Batesville, 2004. And it'll have on it the various learning centers, the first time we ever used learning centers for our vacation Bible school. It was a hit. We brought in first time that year 108 folks to be a part of vacation Bible school. On Wednesday night, we had a crowd of folks. Our folks came in to see it, as well as the adult folks came in, as well as young people all came back that particular night. We were thrilled to have that to happen and just so enjoyed the learning centers in a broad and good, wonderful way. Good to see you, Brother Larry. How you doing there? Good to be with you this morning. But the idea of 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, to them that perish, it's foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. What a blessing we have when we do this in God's Word. E.J. will be coming back very, very shortly now, and he'll continue this particular theme in regard to preparation, and let's see where he is.
Put down the cat. Put down.
Okay.
We'll use you to help me to explain something to you. Just a second. Matter of fact, I can get to you right now. How do you do? Hands work?
Huh? They work just fine. I don't know where you go, but...
You might have told me. I put the mirror out front because my life works a lot better if I have to be. I remember things more. I learn better more. That's a good visual. I enjoy the training school baby service. It has taught me a lot. Brother Rawson has invited me here to talk. I told him that I thought I had a well enough voice to reach everybody. Can everybody hear me?
Right now.
All right. Everybody can hear me right now. My mirror out front says, what do you see? I said that because it's a visual. When we look in the mirror, we look at ourselves, and we have to, when it comes to God's Word and working for God, we have to sometimes take a better look at what we see in our lives, how we address other people. We all teach, as far as our training school for better service, we all teach in one way or another. Whether we're giving somebody else God's Word, or we're living a godly life. I can say that because when I first started at BorgWarner in Water Valley, there were young people and older people that liked to talk a certain way. And it was not scriptural. Well, I found myself, I didn't want to be around all that. So I found myself going somewhere else when I had free time. Or when I went to lunch. Well, after a while, I had people treating me a different way. And it wasn't always a nice way. They wanted me to get into their conversation and act the way they acted, but I still had to step back and say, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a part of that. And sometimes as we get older, it's just like the youth back then. They want to be involved. They want people to like, I want people to like me. But I don't want them to like me for the wrong reasons. I want them to know that I'm different. Not per se better than they are. I don't, there's a guy that throws that at me almost every day. You feel like you're better than I am. No, I just want to live different from you. I don't want people to see me as a lewd person. I don't want people to put me in that category. I was thinking about our talents, what we can give to other people. What she's doing right now, I was, a couple years ago, I don't mean that. A couple of years ago, I found myself in a situation where I had to give a gift to someone. But EJ was working three jobs and was having a hard time paying my bills. So my mom has a cat. I'm allergic to cats. I can't pet them. I'm allergic to their spit. But I had to give her a gift. So, I found this online. I thought it was neat. All I done is I took that string and tied a knot in the middle. Wrapped around all the strings and tied a knot in the middle. This I learned from my dad. Put my scissors down. This is about 3 feet. The arms are longer, so it'll be longer than 3 feet. I'm average, so I'm hoping it's about 3 feet. You run these scissors up through here, and if I get thread on the floor, I'm sorry. And you basically, all you're trying to do is you're cutting the ends of the thread. Get on the other end the same way. And if you want me to vacuum, I can do it. I can vacuum, sweep, mop, all of that. Because I was raised the right way. And if you got a cat, oh, yeah. Guess what you got?
A toy.
You got some entertainment. You just throw it out there and bring it back in. That's entertainment. There's your cat story right there.
You. They'll appreciate that.
But sometimes we have to think outside the box. When we're talking to other people, we have to find out where they are. Because I have talked to people and I had people tell me, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to address somebody that's depressed. My mom right now has issues with depression. And all I know to do is to go to her and listen to her talk.
It's okay, buddy.
Yeah. I got a hand back to you.
But in life, we run into certain situations that we don't know how to talk to certain people. The guy that I talk to at work, I just when he picks at me and whatnot at me, I just tell him, I don't want to mess with you today. Or I will let him do his little thing and he'll go over and sit down and I'll come up and hit him on the shoulder and say, brother, I'm going to pray for you. Uh-huh. And that generally will shut him up. But sometimes it doesn't. Something we have to address things a certain way in our lives, but we have to do it in a way that's humble and gentle. Because if somebody comes up to me and says, you know, I want to learn about God, but I don't want you to tell me how to live my life. Or I don't want you to tell me because of the way I'm living my life, I'm going to hell. I used to hunt on a lady at Edgewater Valley, and she said, I said, are we going to have issues? And she said, no, as long as you don't tell me I'm going to hell. I said, that's between you and God. I said, I try to live my life by what the scripture says, by the word. And that's what I was telling the kids back there in the back. I like to use visuals because visuals stick with people. When I started in school, when I went to Northwest here in Centopia, they have a technician school. I can read the book all day long. I can read that Bible from cover to cover, but if I don't ever put its precepts into action, it won't stick with me. It'll be just words coming out of my mouth. I can say, I can walk up to somebody and say, brother, I love you. If I don't look him in his face, my daddy always told me, he said, you can know the character and the integrity of a person if you walk up and look them in the face and tell them sincerely how you feel. Because if somebody comes up to me and say, man, you're doing a good job, then it's probably false. But this is the visual I used back there in the class. This is a rope that we use at in situ form. This rope is composed of many strands braided together with another rope inside. And it is also braided together. And what I use for them, visualize, is the center rope is God's Word. God's Word is made up of a lot of little bitty things. Some things, it depends on where it's hit you in your life. Some things are big things. Because you run into things, it's like when I get off work, I like to hunt. And I got a little beagle, he's about 2 years old, and he hadn't learned. He'll run from me to that door over there, and he'll say, oh, I lost daddy. And he'll run back to me. Because he hadn't got the confidence that God's Word can give you to go out and talk to people. If somebody says, you know, I'm hurting, I don't know. I told the kids, I said, you can go to the Bible. My dad taught me this. And for a long time, my dad got out of church. He was teaching. He had the men of the congregation say, well, you know, I don't want you to teach from what you're teaching. I want you to teach from this book. And my dad said, I teach from God's Word. And they said, well, you know, we don't want you teaching like that. So he got out of the church. He quit going to church altogether. But it's like I told the kids back there, you can go to the glossary and look up whatever is troubling you. That's what my dad told me when I was a teenager. You go to the Word of God and look up the word that is troubling you. It says in the scriptures, when you have somebody that's troubled, whether it's a loss of job, somebody sick in their family, the word, there's several in here that say comfort. There are three in here that say comfort. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians 5. My brother got me his Bible brand new. The pages are sticking together.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a James person. I feel like James talks to me every day. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you were also doing. Edify means to lift people up. But it's God's Word. I'm not telling you, I don't go, when somebody says I want to talk to you about God's Word, a lot of times I tell them, well, let me get the scriptures, or let's set up a time so that I can meet with you and talk about God's Word. Because I don't like necessarily to recite something that's not word for word. Because people twist God's Word all the time. And they twist it for their lives. They want God's Word to fit their lives instead of God's Word to fit their lives. God's word needs to fit our lives. I mean, our lives need to fit God's word. But what I was telling you as far as things in life that we come upon that distress us is when I hunt with my beagle, when I get off work, I just go out there in the woods. Well, when I go out there in the woods, I got one layer on. So sometimes I feel like Paul, because I get those thorns in my flesh that hurt. But then when we run into other people and they start talking to us about their problems or the issues in their lives or the issues, my son is 22. He just graduated college. He is a chemical engineer now. We are tickled to death that he graduated. But getting there has been a toil, a task, because of the things that he has had to go through to get to where he is now. Sometimes when we talk to people, those thorns in our flesh are not literal thorns. They're mental thorns. And for me, mental stress or mental anguish is a lot more difficult than physical anguish. I can hurt, my body can hurt, and I can get up and go to work. I can do whatever I need to do to get my job done. But when there's something on my mind that is stressing me, here lately I've been having to go to God's work. Because I have stuff that's going on in my life right now that stresses me. It has me stressed. And I wouldn't say that I'm stressed out, because I believe in God's word. I've always been told in my life by my parents, if you have an issue, take it to God. So I take it to God's word and let God's word give me the comfort that I need. That's what this is all about. This says God's word. It's made up, God's word is made up of several different things that will help us in our lives. The outer rope says you. The other side says people. So the people around you and God's word, once this rope is strong, is together like it is, they put this rope in a fiberglass bag. Fiberglass is about that thin. The material that they put on top of it is about that thin, or that thick, however you want to look at it. And they layer it up in about seven layers. It's about this thick, and it's in a tube about as wide as that pew. And it's probably 4 to 6 times the length of the front of this building to the back of that building. And you think about pulling something that weighs 2-3 tons out of the ground or out of the back of a truck that's been liquidated. It's been saturated with a chemical that makes it harden. But they take 2 or 4 holes, depends on how big the bag is. They drill holes in it, and they take this rope, put it in them holes, tie a knot in it, that Bowman's knot.
Yeah.
They tie a knot in it, and then they use it with the big industrial forklift to pull it out of that truck, or to pull it out of the hole. And that, because of the strength of it, pulls it out of its location and puts it where they need it to go. Visually, we need to remember that God's word will strengthen us, and we can do whatever we need to do. We can get through whatever we need to get through. But we have to remember when we get sick that we're not by ourselves. We have God. My thing is, one of the things that I wrote down, I said it out of my pocket, I mean, I sat down and poked a hole in my seat. I've done that many times. As a teacher, I've been a mentor at Sergeant Select Christian Camp. I've been an instructor in Taekwondo. I can tell you how to defend yourself. I can protect myself and those that I know, because I got to a degree that was two degrees from a black belt. So I can defend myself and those around me. I must have left it back there with the kids. I wrote down, I have a bad memory. Oh, here they are. See, I have bad memory. I forgot where they were. I have a bad memory. So I wrote down this morning about 10 or 12 scriptures in case y'all wanted to talk so that I could give y'all scripture and y'all could read with me. Because I like interaction, especially when in a class. And nobody has an excuse as far as memory nowadays or the scriptures, because you can get it all on your phone. I love my e-sword on my phone, because then when somebody gets to talking about scriptures and saying something contrary to what I've read in the scriptures, I can pull it up on my phone and say, well, you know, read this to me. This is God's word. Because I was taught that God's word teaches more people than people teach people. Because then, for myself, I see where I was wrong. Depression. Depression is like alcoholism. It affects everybody around you. Most people look at it, and I've heard this because I've had alcoholics in my family. My dad died. My grandma told me that her husband died because he drank himself to death. I had that in my family, and they say family traditions. So when I get in trouble and start having issues, do I drink or do I go to God's Word? I had it in my family. But we need to support each other. God's Word tells us to lift each other up. So we need to support each other. All right, I got one more thing. In industry, they have RCA. They call it root cause analysis. So if we apply this to our lives, if we start having problems in our lives, we need to look back at it's like a self-evaluation. What is causing me to have these problems? Well, if I'm having people come to me that are Christian people and or loved ones say, well, you know, you look like you're not going to church. Why? Well, somebody hurt my feelings. Well, you know, I was taught by my mom, if somebody hurts your feelings, you're not going to church for them necessarily. You're going to church for God. So when we pray, even, when the kids want to do things for the church, I'm not a song leader, per se. I can lead singing, and I'm confident in leading singing, but sometimes that southern voice comes out in me and I have a little twang. But I can get up and pray. I can get up and work the table. Use the people that are in the congregation to the best of their ability. If they want to serve, let them get up and say a prayer. I've had so many kids get up there and say, dear God, and they get to stuttering. But it's the fact that they're up there. It takes a lot to get up in front of a bunch of strangers or people that you don't know and pray or to do announcements, to do anything. I almost failed senior English because there were 6 people in my class and I didn't want to get up here and recite poetry. But anyway, I appreciate y'all's attention. I'm glad that y'all enjoyed the... I made one for the kids too. I made one at my house to make sure that it would work.
They loved it, yeah.
Let's close our class time with 388 in our songbook. Number 388. You can only imagine the fun that we've had after he came to the school program to be a part of it and had all the visuals in mind as to teach this, that, and the other. That would do good. This song, it kind of explains to us what we're about in doing this with him and with others. 388. One step at a time, dear Savior, I cannot take anymore. The flesh is so weak and hopeless, I know not what to be more. One step at a time, dear Savior, till faith grows stronger in thee. One step at a time, dear Savior, till hope grows stronger in me. One step at a time, dear Savior, thou knowest all of my fears. One word from thy heart, dear Savior, and heaven's mansions appear. One step at a time, dear Savior, till faith grows stronger in thee. One step at a time, dear Savior, till hope grows stronger in thee. I hope you've seen that each one of the songs we've selected in our school 49th anniversary have so illustrated the very point that's being made. Thank you, Brother EJ, very much for what you've done and what you taught us today.